It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I feel like I should just be really loud for it to be right into the microphone to begin with.
Why?
To be a jerk.
Oh, I mean, because that would be mean or something.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Throw off people's volume level. But the important thing here is in the evil universe, I may be evil Tony, but I'm still Tony. And before Tony is good or evil, he is lazy.
Yeah, he has to assess the effort.
Yes. Yeah. It's true. I do come out a little bit more. I was going to say morally neutral. What I was going to say was gender neutral for some reason. But I meant to say morally neutral.
Does,
just because I'm unwilling to do anything.
Does effort assessment remove any necessity for risk assessment? Because if it doesn't meet the minimum requirements for effort, it's probably not going to be that risky.
No, but there are things that require very little effort that are very high risk.
Really?
Yes.
Like?
Falling off a cliff if you're already on the edge of a cliff.
Yeah, that doesn't take a lot of effort.
No.
That's true.
Like when people say something is as easy as falling off a log.
Yeah. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But also very risky.
Yeah.
That's a good example.
Well, depending on the log.
Hmm.
And they say for evil to triumph, all that needs to happen for evil to triumph is good men to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a good man, but I'm also doing nothing.
So,
does that count?
I don't know.
I mean,
these things baffle me. And since I don't smoke weed, I guess I'll never know the answer.
Yeah, no. I don't think weed exists in this universe. Not evil enough. Lots of alcohol, though. Lots of alcohol. And fentanyl. We will hook you up with some fentanyl over here. And mostly just a lot of off-brand snack kits. So recently.
Wow. Those are evil.
Yes.
I mean, there's no question.
Recently, I tried. So in gaming, I have this thing I like to do in gaming where I bring cheap / shitty candy.
Oh, okay.
To the group.
Sure.
To a lot of sour things in weird shapes and stuff like that that I just see in the store or whatever. And the other day, in the clearance bin of candy, there was a lot of M&Ms in there, and there was bags of peanut M&Ms that were Mexican jalapeno peanut M&Ms.
Ooh, that actually sounds good.
And racist, though. Unless the jalapenos specifically came from Mexico, assuming there were jalapenos involved, which, trust me, there were not jalapenos involved.
Ah.
I'm like, why do they got to be Mexican jalapeno? Why can't there's jalapeno?
I don't know.
But yeah, that's what these were. And I was like, this sounds like a terrible thing to inflict on people. So I did. So I bought 3 packs.
Were they any good?
I took them. No.
Oh.
But I ate a lot of them.
But they weren't good?
No.
Well, why did you eat them then?
Here's the thing. Here's basically how it goes down when you eat
they make you feel like
Mexican
you were in
Mexico. Jalapeno M&M. You put it in your mouth and you chew it.
And you're immediately transported to Mexico.
Yes. No, you put it in your mouth and you're like, your mouth's like, peanut M&M. And then your mouth's like, something's wrong with this peanut M&M. Like, it's been adulterated. It's past its sell-by date or something. There's something not quite. It tastes off.
Yeah.
And then you swallow and you're done. And then 30 seconds later, you're like, my throat's kind of sore. The end. Unless you eat a lot of them, and then your throat gets really sore. It burns, like, 30 seconds afterwards. But before then, it just tastes like weirdly tainted peanut M&Ms. But here's the thing. Apparently, peanut M&Ms are so good that I'm willing to eat a lot of tainted peanut M&Ms that make my throat sore rather than have no peanut M&Ms. Because of the three packages I bought, I ended up eating basically one myself.
So,
complaining the whole time.
In situations like this, do you ever find there's two parts of yourself arguing with yourself? Like, there's one part saying, why are you eating these? And the other part saying, well, they're peanut M&Ms. Yes, but they're terrible peanut M&Ms. They're peanut M&Ms. I don't care. Do you ever have any kind of struggles like that?
I have that struggle anytime I'm eating food.
Really?
Pretty much. Unless I can convince myself that it is absolute necessity or quite healthy for me to eat, which never happens.
Is that a recent thing?
All the time. No, my whole life, no.
Really?
No, you don't get this kind of beach body and with accompanying type 2 diabetes without having issues with food.
Huh.
Food is my number one drug and always has been. I eat emotionally. Food that tastes good is like a hug. It's like getting attention. It's a way... You know, we've talked before, like, you play a video game and you feel like you've accomplished something,
sure.
Even though in your real life you're not accomplishing anything.
Right.
It's the same thing. You eat something tasty and you feel like, oh, this is a good thing, even though it's nothing happened. You just ate food.
Mm.
But you're like, yay, it's a nice, it's tasty.
Huh.
I like it. Yeah.
That's interesting. I always thought of you as just a person that did whatever you wanted and there wasn't very much of a contradicting voice.
No. There's constant contradicting voice. Because I'm also a complete self-loathing individual, like so many of us out there.
Mm.
So I do whatever
that
I want.
I can relate to.
And I hate myself for doing whatever I want.
Hmm. I don't do whatever I want, and I still hate myself.
Yep.
That's not entirely
the
accurate.
The other day, I wrote... an essay that I actually think I'm going to be able to mine for some interesting narrative things eventually. But mostly it was just an essay lamenting our inability to live simultaneously in our own mind and in our body. And we have to just basically keep switching back and forth and that both are incredibly inadequate on their own. But that, like, it is impossible, at least for me, it is impossible to not pick one or the other. I can't be in my mind and in my body at the same time.
That's interesting.
And they both have benefits, but they also have huge drawbacks. And
for
that
me,
made me really sad.
For me, for most of my life, I mean, except when I was young, you know, when you're young, you don't know what's going on at all. But for most of my life, I've done exactly just what I want to do, and it's mostly stuff that's...
Didn't you just say you never do what you want to do?
I was saying that as a joke. The truth of the matter is, anything that I haven't done in my life, like drinking alcohol, for example, I've just not been interested in doing it. I'm not resisting temptation or anything like that. Now, there have been times, of course, in my life, like everybody else, where a path presented itself that was, say, going to be very beneficial to me, but I knew it would not be beneficial to other people. And there's a temptation there, right? It's like, well, but I really need this thing. Why, you know, should I maybe not even care how it's going to affect other people? And in those moments, I've endeavored to always try to pick the thing that I think is going to be better for everybody, not just me. So I've dealt with that. But for the most part, my life's been pretty easy. I mean, I'm not tempted by a lot of things that other people are tempted by. And I feel very lucky. That's not because I'm a me. I mean, that's just, for some reason, I'm very fortunate to, well, like you were just talking about with food. I don't have that relationship to food.
No, you're not that into food.
So, and if I did, and the thing is, my parents both struggled with weight their whole lives. And I would probably be in the same boat, but I don't have that relationship with food. So I'm very lucky to not really be that tempted by things that other people are tempted by.
And here's the interesting thing. To pick two examples at hand, your complete lack of interest in even trying alcohol and you're not having a particular attachment or interest in food in that way are both things I genuinely pity you for.
Well, exactly. And you're not the only one.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of other people who feel
and
the same
don't
way.
Get me wrong. Both of those things have caused me a lot of strife.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I don't pity you for never drinking.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I pity you for living a life that you exist in this society and somehow aren't even curious. Like, if you came to me and said, you know, I just don't think it would be a good idea and I'm never going to drink. I'm like, that's fine. But if you're like, I just have never had any interest. I'm like, wow, I feel sad for your curiosity circuits or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
but
they are numb.
But you know that's not true. You know I'm curious about a lot of things. I'm curious about virtually every other thing.
Yes, that's why I find it so
But there's nothing
weird.
There's nothing to feel sorry for me about is what I'm saying. I mean,
I do because I feel sad that somehow your curiosity is lacking to that degree.
No, come on. There are things that you're not particularly curious about. That you don't count that against yourself in your level of curiosity.
Except if I live in a society that is so focused on it and people are like, you know what, you should check that out or whatever, I will find myself curious. I still may choose not to. The Kardashians are a great example.
Yeah, but
I don't want anything to do with the Kardashians. I'm curious.
I think this is...
I've chosen that
Right. But
they
I think
suck,
this speaks
and I don't
more...
I want to deal with it.
This speaks to how on the continuum between sociology and anthropology, you're far closer to the anthropology thing than I am. So you want to know what the fuss is about. I often don't care what the fuss is about.
And I think it's sad to not care what the fuss is about.
But there's other things to be curious about and to spend time looking at. So
absolutely. I think you should be curious about all of them.
But I'm not. And you're not. Nobody is. Nobody's curious about everything.
No, but I tend to be curious about the things that are so ubiquitous to the world around me. And again, saying, I'm curious, but I just decided it's not worth pursuing, is a very different thing.
I realize that.
And like, also, I'm...
There's a lot of things I'm not curious about.
But, and that... yeah.
And there's a lot of things I am curious about. But I think that's true for everybody. I mean, the only difference...
There's not a lot that I'm not curious about.
The only difference, really, is what you're saying is that there are things in our culture, and in lots of cultures, actually, because... Pretty much every culture you go to is going to have, you know, drugs.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're going to be a really important part of their religious practices and things, which I am interested in, but I probably wouldn't partake in that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if I would or not. That kind of depends. I've never been in that situation, but I'm pretty sure I wouldn't. So, you know, this is something that you're going to find in every culture, and that if you don't experience it, then you just won't know what that's about. I get that, but... Again, it all comes down to, you know, everybody has some things they're interested in and some things they're not. It's really not that big a deal. Mine are just different than not just yours, but really a lot of people that I know.
Yeah, well, and at this point, I'm not sure what you're arguing because I feel that it is a thing and I am sad about it. I'm not telling you need to change or that there's something wrong. I lament the fact... that you are not curious to that degree or in that way.
But that's where you cross the line. By saying I'm not... Well, in that way, fine. But to that degree, I'm definitely curious to a high degree. Just not about that.
Well, that's a poor word on my part. I don't think you can find an analog in me. I don't think you can find an equivalent that I'm not curious about. That is something that's just very deeply embedded in life and that people talk to me about frequently and that people frequently either tell me it's really good for me not to be interested or it's really bad for me
no,
not to be interested.
True.
All of that stuff.
Not in this culture anyway. That's
all of true. That stuff to me, I'm like, the fact that doesn't pique your curiosity is sad to me.
Why? I don't understand that part. Why would it be sad?
I would not like to live like that. I would not like to have that way of looking at things.
What way?
The way that you're not curious about that.
But I'm curious about so many other things.
Yes.
That I perceive as being so much more important.
Definitely.
So who cares if I'm not interested in that thing? I'm also not interested in fashion. Don't care.
Also sad.
Why?
Because I feel that
this, why is it sad? I mean, it's
because I consider curiosity about just about everything to be one of the best things in my life.
I do too. I'm just not curious about that. Do I have to
consider curiosity of just about everything to be one of the best things in my life?
It's not a huge list of things that I'm not curious about. It's not a large and important list.
Of course it's not to you. You're not curious about them.
Exactly. And so why should that make anybody sad?
Because I value the curiosity. I don't know why this is. I'm entitled to feel this way.
I know, but you're sad about me.
Yes, because.
But I'm not sad, so why should you?
Because it's something in my life that I like about me, and you don't have it, and I'm like, oh, this is something that gives me pleasure, and I'm sad that you don't have it.
But there's no. Who says it would give me pleasure?
I don't know, William, but this is the only perspective I have. It's when I have something that brings happiness to my life and somebody else doesn't have it, part of me is like, oh, I'm so sad about that.
But I like root beer, and if other people don't like it, it doesn't bother me. I don't feel sorry for them because they don't like root beer and they don't have that pleasure in their life to like
root beer. And if you said, you know, I feel bad that people can't appreciate root beer the way I do. People can't enjoy it for as much joy as it gives me. I would find that a perfectly valid thing to say.
Oh, yeah, I would never say that. People like what they like.
Absolutely.
I
feel like you're putting a judgment component in this.
Well, isn't there one?
No.
Oh, it feels like there is.
Yeah, I think you're inventing that.
I don't think I'm inventing it. Maybe I'm misunderstanding it, but okay. I don't think I'm pulling it out of the blue. I mean, you're...
I'll put it to you this way.
There was the suggestion in this conversation that I am objectively not curious enough as a human being.
No. Not at all.
All right.
I'll put it to you this way.
Because I've never been accused of that before.
No. No, you're incredibly curious. In fact, you're curious about a lot of stuff to degrees that I'm like, holy crap. It's kind of similar to when a parent tells their kid who told them that they're not going to have any children, like, that's fine, and you're going to have a great life. I've experienced some really cool things having kids, and it's sad to me that you won't experience those things. But you're going to experience other things, and that's great. And there should be nothing in that statement. It's parents, so frequently there's backstory. But there should be nothing in that statement. To say, there was a great version in a movie that I was very fond of called The Sum of Us, where a dad was talking about his son being gay, and he's very accepting of his son being gay. And he's like, you know what? I am a little sad because I know what his mom and I had, and I know what it was like to make a kid and all that, and he can't have that because he doesn't want that, but he can't have that. And it makes me sad that he won't experience that enjoyment. And I take enjoyment out of being fascinated by just about everything.
That one seemed weirder than if you were talking to a heterosexual person for some reason. I don't know why.
What do you mean?
Well, I thought that was a great example when you were talking about a kid doesn't want to have.
Yeah.
And I was just naturally thinking of, you know, myself and my own parents, so a heterosexual kid. But then when you said he had a gay kid and he was thinking this way, then it seemed weird. Because it seems like a gay person can still have that kind of experience.
Which, and to be honest, nowadays, the play's from the 90s.
Oh, okay.
But also, I mean, and I've heard this talk for people who talk about a specific joy you get from making something that is part you and part your partner that you can't necessarily get through surrogacy or through adoption or whatever. And again, I think it's unfair to judge that, but I do understand
I'm probably sensitive to that because the only kids I ever had weren't my kids. And yeah. I don't feel like that was less of an experience because they didn't have my DNA in it.
No, and everybody's experience is different.
Right, right.
But
that's right.
When I see stuff that gives me pleasure and other people don't get to experience that, there's absolutely a part of me that's like, that's too bad. I really like that. I'm too bad. And I mean, the follow-up is, but I'm sure they're experiencing cool shit that I'll never experience, and that's fine. But I still can feel what was that about that?
Yes.
It's like a step cousin to nostalgia. Going like, oh, I'll never have that experience again. It's a little bit like that. It's like, that's fine. It was experience in the past and mm-hmm. whatever. The same thing. It's fine for you to do your own thing, but I'm like,
you know, that's, I wonder if that this is related to this conversation and how I'm thinking and feeling about it. Nostalgia you're talking about. I don't know how much nostalgia I do feel it. I know that. I know there are places I go where I'm happy to be there. Well, home, whenever I go home.
Yeah.
But I notice other people feeling it when I don't. Even when it's like, I feel like, you know, I lived in the 80s, you know, yeah. I experienced that thing. How come I'm not feeling this good feeling from this?
And it's really not as monolithic as people would talk about nostalgia, because a lot of people can tie a lot of things into nostalgia, and just being wistful about happy times in the past versus being sad that you can't experience that again, to feeling like my life is not nearly as good now as it was then. These are all very different types of emotions.
Sure, sure.
And they all kind of fall under nostalgia. And of course, the version where it's like, I'm so desperate to feel that something is good that I'm going to completely romanticize the past into something that wasn't nearly as good as I now think it is.
Right.
But just because I want to remember, like, there was something good. I'm not happy now, but I was then, right?
Well, see, but this is something that I've always struggled. I've struggled my whole life with this. Is what?
No, I didn't mention any presidents we had before.
No, but I've had this problem my whole life with my level of sentimentality doesn't seem to be as high as the people around me. And to a degree that it sometimes really bothers them.
Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous, because there are a lot of components to determine that kind of stuff. I mean, again, not to this, William's not autistic, but that can be a component. Sentimentality, emotional demonstrativeness. Things like this, these are components that could be in there. And I'm not saying that's one you have, but I mean, there's lots of things like this that people foolishly are like, this is what's normal. No.
Yeah. I don't have any idea what's normal.
And that's the thing. I don't think you are weird or bad for not having interest in alcohol. And the problem also is that it's alcohol, which is just such a loaded thing. And my feelings are not specifically because it happens to be alcohol.
No.
But just because of the significance within the world you and I live in.
That's right.
And you've made
that very clear.
But alcohol is such a loaded thing for other reasons.
For my experience with it, though, is that just about everyone I've ever known, there's a drug that they won't take.
Yeah.
There's a thing they won't try.
Everybody's like, oh, that's too far.
And so it's like, I'm just drawing a line in a different
place.
Right,
early. Yeah.
Really, so.
Well, but see, this is where we're blurring again. This is not about you not doing drugs, because there are lots of drugs I won't take. I am curious about every single one of them.
Granted, I'll grant. That's a big difference.
Extremely curious about many of them. And also, if 80s and 90s anti-drug propaganda hadn't lied to me so much, I probably would have tried several more of them. By the time I figured out that, no, you really won't die because your heart explodes the first time you try cocaine, I was way too old to try cocaine.
Because you'd formed other informed opinions about whether or not that was a good idea.
Just because I knew a lot about, I knew people who had done cocaine and stuff, and I knew like what it is, and I'm just like, no, I'm too old to deal with the potential legal ramifications. I'm too old to deal, like, I don't want to be up for days writing screenplays and talking about race war. Well, like, this is not.
Well, that's another side of it, though, is how curious do I have to be? Because I've definitely known people who, I've been around people who are drinking. I've been around people who are drunk. I mean.
And you're never like, I wonder what I would be like drunk.
Well, no. Because
I'm even curious about that. What you would be like drunk.
Everybody I know is curious about that. Yeah. But I just assume I'm going to be like this. You know, this person is this way, this person is this way. There's like three or four different ways.
No.
And I just figure I'm going to be like any one of those, and none of those things seem like fun to me. So I, you know.
See, again, I feel like there's a lot of conflating here between.
I mean, I'm totally.
You're not wanting to do it. I think you not wanting to do it is a very good thing. And I would certainly not recommend otherwise.
But
it's the idea of you not even being curious that I find weird.
I don't think I have to be curious because I see what it does.
Nobody has to be curious.
Well, but I'm saying I'm just going to be like any one of these people when they're driving.
Okay.
So what?
Well, first of all, there's way more than three or four different times. And second of all,
is there?
You're not like other people are when you're sober. Why the hell do we assume you'd be like them when you're drunk?
Well, okay, let's talk about
this. That's the thing. I genuinely think you could be weird. You're weird in a whole way I don't understand now.
Let's talk about this, because you're making me curious about it.
Ooh!
Not like, let me go try it curious.
No. I don't think you should.
Let me get your insight curious. Mm. All right, so there's several ways or whatever. Now, I have had alcohol and like medicine before.
Yeah.
And it just made me tired.
Yeah, well, I think there's more components to than that. But, I mean, there's a lot of factors going on in what alcohol does to your body.
Okay.
In a physiological sense and in a psychological sense. You have very strong inhibitions.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Lowering inhibitions is one of the first things alcohol does.
Which is a big reason I wouldn't want to do it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I have my inhibitions for a reason.
Yes. And I don't think you should. But I am fascinated by what the fuck would William without his inhibitions look like. I don't want to find out.
I don't either.
But it's fascinating for me to think about.
I can kind of guess.
Well, you probably have the best chance.
I would probably say a lot of inappropriate things. To be funny.
Well.
That my comedy would get very inappropriate, probably.
But this is William.
Because I'm not incapable.
So I think you would probably say a lot of things that you would find inappropriate that the rest of us wouldn't particularly.
Oh, come on. You don't think?
I think it's entirely possible that you drunk would just talk like me, normally.
I mean, there are a lot of things that you say that I wouldn't say because those aren't part of who I am. But there are some things you say. All my life...
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you'd be as funny as me.
No. That's not what I meant. All my life, I have, you know... When I'm in a situation and there's something funny to say, I do think of it. Mm. But if I think it's cruel, if I think it's too vulgar, you know, if I think it's, you know, a number of different things, I will stop myself from saying it. So maybe I would say those types of things.
See, and I wonder, though... Because, like, I personally don't think the desire not to hurt people's feelings is an inhibition, for me at least. Even when I'm drunk, I still want people to, like, be happy and me not to hurt them. Now, I frequently will accidentally do it in ways that, as a sober person, I obviously wouldn't have been that dumb.
But I'm talking about cruel, not to necessarily to anyone present. Just
even then, even
just
then,
cruel
sometimes,
in general.
Yeah. You get really racist when you drink.
No, it's more like, it, basically, in my mind, because, you know, I actually have a pretty good sense of humor. And I think of things that I think people will laugh at if I say them.
That eye roll is not going to show up on the podcast.
No, you know it's true. It's not. I don't avoid saying it because I don't think people will laugh.
No.
I'm certain they will.
Yeah.
But the reason I don't say it is because I just don't want to get in the habit of saying things like that. Because maybe they'll laugh this time, but maybe they won't laugh the next time. And it's just better not even to get into that habit of saying things like that.
Yeah. I for me, it's the... I wouldn't say it because I would feel bad even if everyone else laughed.
Maybe that's true too. Yeah, there might be
and
that
there's
too.
There's a component of that. But I mean, and there's also, I mean, and it mostly is alone with my wife, but there are ones where I'm like, well, this would be a terrible thing to say outside of our
But the laughing makes me feel good. So that's I would feel bad for saying it, but I feel good for getting the laugh.
Yeah,
that's why I say in a situation where I'm drinking,
yeah,
one
possible.
Might overpower the other. See
it's
what I'm saying?
Possible. And this is, I don't think you should drink ever.
I'm not going to.
No.
But.
But
I do
I'm
like
incredibly
getting,
curious about this
I do
idea.
Like getting laughs is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if I were inebriated, that might overcome everything else, and I might
very
say things
possible.
That later I will regret having said.
I think it's very possible. See, I find this fascinating. I find it very interesting to be like, what would William be like?
I think
because it's already complicated enough to try and explain to people what William is like sober.
Wait, but another thing is, like, I could just get depressed.
Definite possibility.
I mean, because
that could get boring.
Yeah.
Because you could be a boring depressed. You might not. You could get maudlin, and I think that could be very interesting. But, again, curiosity about the idea. There's a lot of versions that could be terrible.
They're all terrible as far as I'm concerned.
You'd be surprised. But, yeah, for the most part, I think you're right. For the most part, I think you're right.
Well, and another thing is...
But it's just... to me, it's just interesting to... I'm curious. Not enough that I think anybody should do it, but... In general, that I don't ever think anybody should do drugs for curiosity's sake. I feel like that's a little weird.
In a funny way, that's... I think the opposite. I think if but you should do it
you
in
guess
a safe
you're right.
place.
I'm probably misspeaking.
You should be in a safe
because
place.
Because I'm like, so what are the alternatives? And the alternatives are like you're desperate and depressed.
Or
so.
Peer pressure or something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
No, I take it back. Curiosity is the reason to do drugs.
Yeah. That I can understand. And, but you need to be in a safe place.
Curiosity doesn't require to do drugs. You don't have to do drugs because you're curious about it. There's a lot of things I'm curious about that I'm never going to do.
I mean, when I was raising the kids...
I'm very curious about skydiving.
I see, I'm not.
I'm fascinated by all the things... Like, I'm just like, what? I have a hard time imagining what it would feel like. Mm. I'm never going to try it. But I frequently am just like, what is the constant wind and the actual, like... Does free fall just feel like weightlessness? If you close your eyes, do you feel weightless, or does it feel like you're falling? And then I'm like, is that a like? I'm very curious about this, but yeah, I'm never doing that.
Well, when I was raising the kids, I didn't. My line with them was not, "Oh, you shouldn't do drugs or
whatever." Yeah.
I never told them that. What I told them was, before you do something like this, you should know what the effects are and be prepared, you know, to live with what the effects are.
Yeah.
But and I talked about how there are some people that take it for religious reasons, and for them that this is a really important spiritual thing.
Don't do it.
So you have to make these choices on your own.
I was talking to the cat, not to you people.
I explained to them that my choice not to do these things, but that's me.
Yep.
You're not me. And so you know, I never tried to tell the kids what they should or shouldn't do.
When I was a scumbag in college.
And I hope they've made their choices competently.
I was. Frequently called upon to help people try certain drugs for the first time, and I had a lot of rules about it.
Why would you call yourself a scumbag?
Because it's just weird. I don't know. I'd be like, yeah, I'll get you high. And I wasn't like a drug dealer, but I was like the person to stage the event, as it were. I don't know. It felt weird.
Well,
or it feels weird now.
I think that's actually good if you're creating a safe space for them to...
Yeah, but I think some of it may come from the fact that they just know I had done everything and already knew all the pitfalls. Which I did, and I had. But yeah, one of the things was you could only do the one drug, no mixing drugs your first time, and you had to take enough of it that you could be sure it worked. And that was almost just a persnickety thing on my part, because you would not believe the number of people that are like, one time I did two puffs off of a joint and I didn't feel anything, so I don't think marijuana affects me. I'm like, fuck
it's,
off.
It's about dosage, people.
Fuck off.
It's always about
so
dosage.
I was always like, we're going to do enough that you know it's going to do something. We're only going to do that. And then, yeah, whoever you want to invite, but it's only people that you know you implicitly trust completely.
This sounds like the opposite of a scumbag.
Yeah, but it was the experience of getting to this point to where I knew this kind of stuff that made me the scumbag.
Okay. I mean, if you say so, but I think you were providing a valuable service.
So did they. So did I at the time.
I mean, if I were...
And also, it was only alcohol and weed. Because I didn't really know about other drugs.
If I were interested in such a thing, I would probably not require your services, you know, because I'm married. But if it weren't for that, you're probably the first person
your
I'd
wife
go to.
Is huge into drugs.
No, I mean I trust her, and she could always take care of anything I need in that regard. But
Your wife once got me some peyote. I didn't ask where she found it.
That's not what I mean. But
makes
I would...
Makes her own mezcal in the basement.
That's not what I mean. I mean that I trust her if anything happens to me. Whatever.
I used to call her Ayahuasca Jones.
Whatever I'm doing. But if it weren't, if she weren't in the picture, I would totally trust you. I would totally come to you and say, not to get the stuff necessarily, but to help me feel safe in experimenting with it. Should I not trust you?
I don't know.
Because I would.
It's been a couple of decades.
Well, what would you do? You wouldn't do anything to harm me, I don't think.
No, I know a lot of good jokes to play on people on drugs, though.
Well, I wouldn't like that much.
My favorite one is the one where you put the invisible box over their head.
The invisible box
yes.
over their head?
You hold your hands about 3 feet apart.
Yeah.
Like you're holding a box.
Uh-huh.
And you say, I have this box, and I'm going to put, and you move like you're putting it over their head. And then you say, and I'm going to put it over your head, so then, until I take it off.
And they believe it? Depending on the drug,
it depends. Yeah. It depends. Sometimes they're like, whoa, just for like, because it's a reflex thing.
Yeah.
So like the split second that you'd be like, why did the sound cut out? Like if you're a sober person, it would be like a billionth of a second.
Right.
When you're drunk, it's a little longer.
A little longer, yes.
Or they think it's the funniest joke ever. There's also an old school one where you'd be at parties and everybody's just like standing and mingling and stuff. Like these parties that are in movies. I don't know if they really exist. All of my parties, we were, like, collapsed on couches and shit. But these parties, and you go up to a person who's drunk, and you talk to them, and while you do it, you just gently start swaying. And they don't like that, so they're trying to match you so that it doesn't seem like it's moving.
Yeah.
And then once you got them going really good, you just go, like, talk to you later, and you leave, and they're just standing there by themselves. Just
swaying
going like
back
that.
And forth.
There's also some weird moves where you can feel like your own head gets cut off and falls into your hands.
That doesn't sound pleasant.
It's freaky, depending on what you're on. You just hold your hands out in front of you, and you close your eyes, and the person makes a move across your throat, and then they put their own head in your hands. And again, it's just enough of an illusion that when your senses are slowed and your judgment is off, that just you're like, oh my God! And you're like, oh, I got my head. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Tell us your favorite tricks to play. On people that are wasted.
Well, how can you do that if you're not also wasted?
No, sometimes you're also wasted.
Oh, but you can.
But also you know the tricks.
Oh, okay. Like, okay.
You don't forget them when you're drunk. Although often you're not nearly as good at them when you're drunk. And a common thing when you've been hanging out with the same people getting wasted for multiple times is then it just becomes an inside joke. And you're hanging out with him, and you're like, hey, William, I got this box. And then we both just start laughing. In fact, and you'd get the, like drunk and high inside jokes are the dumbest jokes.
So I gather.
Because there's this company called Hawkeye.
Okay.
That makes liquor.
Oh, okay.
It is the shittiest liquor in the world.
Is it in Iowa?
It must be. I mean, you can buy it at the Hy-Vee.
Okay.
And it is the kind of liquor that's not really what it's like. Their Hawkeye whiskey isn't whiskey. It's grain alcohol that has been diluted to the proper proof, and then color and flavor is added to make it taste like whiskey.
No.
And it comes in like plastic handles and things like
that.
That's
got to taste terrible.
And it is. And it's bad. It's cheap as hell. And this is, and so it's not uncommon. You tell drinking stories like you tell fishing stories. You're like, one time, all we had was... And we would talk about how bad it is. But it was a couple of stories were about that specifically. It was such a big deal and like how crappy it was that me and my friend would get to a point where we were just hanging out. And we're like, hey, Hawkeye Vodka. And we would just crack up. Just the idea that it existed was funny to us. See, it's not a funny joke at all. It's not a joke. It's two words. It's a product. You just mention it and we would start laughing.
You think spirits...
When we were high, we used to make the earth tilt on each other, and that would fuck them up because we would fall over.
You'd think spirits made in Iowa would actually be very good. I mean, it's a corn state, you know.
I don't know if they are, though, because that's the things about... There aren't very many distilleries in Iowa because there couldn't be for the longest time.
Oh, that's true.
Like Cedar Ridge was that's first. Right.
We weren't a dry state, but alcohol was very controlled. Liquor stores were state owned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not from Iowa. It just seems weird that it wouldn't be.
Called Hawkeye.
It's called that, yeah. But I don't know. If you know more about Hawkeye liquors. Also, I love that I recently was at Ivy and I saw and they had Hawkeye vodka and then they had, you know, there's like flavored vodkas. Yeah. They had one flavor of Hawkeye vodka that was flavored. Bacon.
Wow.
And here's the thing. Bacon vodka is not... It is a thing. That other places make it.
Oh, okay.
People say it tastes like a Band-Aid.
What does that taste like?
I don't know. Like the smell of like an old Band-Aid or something. I don't know. That's what they say. Generally, people don't like... Except they say it's really good in Bloody Marys. Because it mixes with all the tomato and the spices and stuff. And so that's nice.
Sure.
But I'm like... Forget the fact that you're the shittiest vodka in the world already. You're going to make one flavor and you're like, lemon, citrus of some kind. That's the easiest with vodka. And it's so easy and cheap to make. Like, why bacon? Why was that? Frequently, it feels like Hawkeye is sort of self-parodying, which is interesting.
Isn't moonshine just corn mash flavored vodka?
Sort of, yeah.
So why couldn't they have done that?
I always get confused about the exact differences between vodka, whiskey, like, of the liquors. Because I used to think it was based on what you used originally to ferment, and it's not.
No, it isn't.
Because I used to think, like, if it was weed, it was something. If it was vodka, was potatoes, and things like that. But it's not at all.
No.
So I'm often not entirely clear
on that.
The
way I understand it is...
But vodka is very close to just straight...
That's right.
Alcohol.
That's right.
It's not quite, but it's very close.
So basically, what all spirits are, from what I understand, is you make if it's a high quality,
yeah.
you make it this really colorless, odorless, tasteless vodka, and then you flavor it somehow, either by putting it in casks for a long time, or you like with moonshine, you put the corn mash back in, or whatever, and that's what determines the flavor of it.
Well, see, and I don't know, because, like, I have seen, like, because, yeah, unaged whiskey is colorless.
Oh, and it doesn't just taste like vodka?
Apparently not.
Huh.
It also doesn't just taste like whiskey either.
Oh.
Because it apparently mellows and smooths out as it ages. But I've seen it. I was watching some travel show, and they went to some place, and they're like, this is the stuff before it's been aged at all. And I think it's called white whiskey or something. And it's just completely unaged. And it's clear.
That just sounds like vodka.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's when you get in the whole thing. Supposedly you can take cheap vodka and run it through a Brita filter a bunch. And it makes it taste better. And things like this. But Mythbusters took that one on. And they kind of disproved that. Because they actually had a blind taste test. And one of the guys was like a professional. I forget what exactly his job was. But he's a professional at drinking high-end spirits and knowing the difference. And they did a blind taste test, and he could absolutely spot the filtered stuff versus the not.
Well, yeah, because it's about how often you distill it, how filtered it is, how pure it is, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that the highest quality vodka is going to mostly be a pure alcohol. It doesn't have except for the burn, it doesn't have a flavor, it doesn't have a smell, it doesn't have anything. Which makes it, I understand, a good mixer, because... Like if you
can put it in anything.
Yeah, if you make a screwdriver, it just tastes like orange juice with a bite.
I made some terrifying vodka lemonade in college that was powerful enough that you just did not know what was going on. And I remember finally going to sleep in the wee hours and waking up in the morning and being like, sorry, not in the morning, waking up at 3 p.m. and saying, this is weird. I'm not hungover at all. I thought I might be. And then realizing I wasn't hungover because I was still drunk.
Oh, wow.
Later, I was very hungover.
Wow.
And I don't get hungover a lot, but that was, I drank a lot, yeah.
See, that's another thing. I hate having migraines, I hate being sick, so
no.
Why would I even want to
I definitely don't think, I think going through life not drinking is totally not a bad idea.
I mean,
idea
in a
all.
Way, I have a hangover, like, every few months in the way of a migraine, and I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing something on purpose that's going to make me feel like that for even a second, because I hate it so much. But, you know, whatever. Tweech his own. Doesn't, you know, whatever.
Tweech. Tweech his own.
I don't think I'd be as interesting drunk as you think. As ever, all my friends think. Everybody
no,
thinks
no,
I'd
no.
make
I don't necessarily. I think it is very interesting to ponder what you might be like drunk. Many of the scenarios you are not interested in.
Because I'm not interesting sober either. So
but you are such a wild card.
I don't know about that.
And so much of your personality to me is based on self-control.
But that's
which, of course, is one of the first things that drugs eliminate.
That's true. And that part's so, true. Self-control, that's true.
And so much of what I identify as you potentially goes away. So it's like, what if William was less William? What would that be like? And I'm like, I don't know. It could be interesting. Could also be terrible. Could also be kind of like William now. I don't really know.
Is that why it's a very common thing for me to have friends who say they're very curious what I'd be like drunk? Is that why? Because they just think that there's a lot behind the
There's a lot of components. I mean, I think there is that because that is a common thing. When you find somebody who is very controlled, it is not uncommon. Well, and I suppose it could go the other way too. If you find somebody without any self-control, you'd be. I wonder what they'd be like if they just had a little goddamn discipline. And so this is the opposite. I wonder if this person who's very in control wasn't in control, what they would be like.
Does it create some kind of sense of mystery? I mean, do people think I'm hiding something?
No, it's... Well, possibly. No, but mostly it's just when there's something... When somebody has a very strong personality trait, I think...
Regardless of what
curious,
it is.
Yeah, it's curious to know what it would be like different. And in the case of control, I think there is, and it's not hiding, it's just that I mean, that's a huge one. Drunk, you would probably be at least somewhat less of a private person.
Yeah, probably.
And so people are very curious about that. What's going on?
Probably.
And there's a poor, I think, school of thought that being drunk and being on a variety of drugs just emphasizes things that are already in you so it can show aspects of the real you.
The real you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the real you isn't, you know, you.
Yeah, right.
The real you is you plus poison. But it's, I understand it because... It's the idea that it lowers your inhibitions, and your inhibitions are just you stopping yourself from what you'd want to do anyway. Or it decreases your judgment, and your judgment is really you just fitting in with everyone else, and it shows your id, and your id is your true self, and it's like none of these statements are true.
No. As if people believe it. As if your the inhibitions and judgments aren't a part of you at all. Like, I do think there's a school of thought that says that stuff comes from society.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why it's not really you.
And of course, there's the general idea that there's something more authentic about being relaxed than about being stressed.
Yeah.
And I mean, alcohol definitely does tend to relax. It's a relaxant.
Depressant. Yeah.
And it's a muscle relaxant, even.
Oh, okay.
Low scale, but at least I think it is. It always was for me. But yeah, it's a present. So like it, you feel calm or stuff like that. And so there's, again, that sort of, I think, inaccurate perception that when you're more relaxed, you're more yourself. It's like, no, some people are uptight. Well, and just the concept of more yourself is rhetorical idiocy.
Yeah, there's a lot of false dichotomies going on.
I spent a lot of time in my late years anthropology dealing with concepts like authentic.
Yeah.
Really are not
useful
outside of, you know, base molecular biology.
But also Western notions like, of the self and things like that.
Authentic cultural or authentic psychological aren't real. Right. That's not a real term.
Right.
Real. See? There you go. We're running out of time now. We better do something.
Okay.
Evil gets philosophical.
Well, these are the kind of conversations I like to have. Myself.
I would have thought it would have bored you because you're not curious about it.
You're funny. Azure Talon. Dear evil MTH hosts.
Seriously? That's hilarious. So the odds of that actually happening are incredibly small. Dear, at least I assume it is. The hat works in mysterious ways.
Dear evil MTH hosts, help evil universe's greatest hero, Azure Talon.
Oh, yeah. No.
So there's an evil person over there, Azure Talon, who wants us to help him.
Oh, yeah, no, I've heard about him. Yeah.
Well, it's lucky that we got this and not the other guys.
And it's fine. You want to come over. I've worked this out. Find a dry well. The deeper, the better. Wait till nighttime. Make sure nobody's around. Jump in.
Don't tell people you're going there.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Don't tell anybody.
Yes. Deep, dry well. No one can know. Jump in. It's best if it's a long way from where you live or where anybody knows who you are.
Right.
Yeah. Ideally, a place like speaks a different language would be great. Like,
and don't worry about growing a goatee.
No, you get that when you come in.
You get that when you get here.
I've been watching episodes of Community that had the goatees. That's been weird.
I feel weird because we just helped somebody.
Yeah, but I mean, we definitely want this guy on our team.
Okay.
I've heard about this guy.
Okay, good.
Like,
well, I trust your judgment.
I mean, yeah, no, he's.
Well, I hope he can find a well.
I mean,
like
he's
that
no
somewhere.
He's no Willie Wright extreme jackass billionaire. But who is?
It's too bad that nobody knows. I mean, we've talked about it before, but I mean, that was so funny. It's kind of an inside joke, unfortunately, but it was really, really funny.
And it was the height of that trip because it went downhill from there. And you know why it went downhill from there?
No.
Alcohol.
What do you mean? I don't even remember what you're talking about. I remember it being really funny.
Willie Wright, extreme jackass billionaire.
Yeah.
Was you, me, Jeff, and Tuttle.
Yeah.
In a car. Driving to Chicago.
Hilarious.
For the users group convention.
Oh, that's what that was for?
Yes.
Okay.
And we got there.
Yeah.
We did the things. I don't remember most
of
it.
Oh, was this the time when you said something to our CEO?
That's just the start of it. This is the time when I drunkenly, in front of users and the CEO, told them all that he wasn't the man. I, in fact, was the man.
Oh, yeah.
This is also the same time that I drunkenly went back to my room, broke my glasses, and I know nobody's going to believe this, but accidentally ordered porn. In the hotel room
that's possible.
That was being paid for
by the company.
By my company.
Yes.
So, yeah. Trip went downhill after Willie Wright, extreme jackass
billionaire. I forgot all of that stuff. I forgot about all. I mean, you told
alcohol.
Me about it, but I forgot about it.
Curious?
No.
No, that was, yeah, that was bad.
It seemed like it was a good trip home, though. Seems like, didn't
I
we
don't
all,
remember the trip home.
Didn't we all come together home or not?
I assume. We only had one car.
That was a fun trip, man.
It was.
Willie Wright.
Extreme jackass billionaire.
Very funny. I feel you know what you wonder who I feel sorry for? All the people listening to this who don't know what that means.
Hey, go back and
so
listen. You'll
funny.
Hear a lot of stuff about Willie Wright. hated little people. He called them midgets because it was the early 2000s. We didn't know any better.
He did play cards with them.
Literally.
Except he used them as cards.
He hated little people, and he hated different ethnicities
and children.
And he hated children. That is a bear. I was like, Willie Wright, he's so mean. And we're all talking over it. I'm like, no, listen to me. Willie Wright is so mean. He once made a house out of children. And there was like a solid two count of silence as everybody's mind tried to process what that meant. And then we just all, including me, and I had said it.
It was really funny. Tuttle was coming up with some good stuff, too.
Yeah, I know. He and I were going. That was when you said, if you got enough money, you would give us a radio show.
You would
buy a radio station, give us our own daily show,
sponsored
and we
by.
Would just talk about how horrible you were. Boss is so
it was
mean.
So funny. Really funny.
And it got its start with an episode of C-Lab 2021.
That's how that started?
Yeah, there was a guy who showed up on the show, and he was called Extreme Billy. I forget. He was, like, this guy who had all this money and also was, like, filming his own reality TV show of himself or whatever, and he's called Extreme Billionaire. And when he would like something to say, he'd be like, money! And he'd just throw money at you. And then one time it's like...
Like it was a move.
Yeah.
Like
it was a martial arts. And I think he actually had a backpack that had, like, robot arms that did it. So it was like, money! And it just threw... And then you say something that's like, that's good too. Double money. And that was where it started. Because he would just say shit. Like, and that was where it came from originally. And and I was like, Extreme Jackass Billionaire.
Willie Wright. Extreme Jackass Billionaire.
International House of Children.
Right, that's what it was called.
That was the later
because
version there.
It was multi-ethnic children.
Yes, yes. Oh, that was a mess. It was such a guy thing. That car was so testosterone filled.
It was pretty bad, but it was hilarious.
That was like, that's locker room talk, was what happened in that car. It was goofy guy talk. Nobody talked about sexually assaulting anyone.
Nope.
We just talked about this terrible, terrible rich man who hated children and minorities.
He did all the worst
stuff. Short
people.
Yep. All right.
Good times.
Well, if you'd like to tell us how you feel about children and little people and minorities.
And curiosity.
Keep it to yourself. But, I mean, if you want to comment on the episode, I guess go.
We won't see it.
Magical.
I might see it. Eva Williams sometimes does talk to them.
Yeah,
people.
So check that out. Otherwise.
You know what? For being Eva, we don't talk about ourselves in the third person enough. We really need to work on that.
It's true. It's kind of a deal. us evils
yeah.
do. I do this thing where I put my pinky up by my mouth.
Yeah, nobody sees it, though. I see it, I guess. It's a nice touch.
$1 million. You know, I'm not going to go so far as to say they're good. I don't even think I saw the third one. But, like, the first Austin Powers movie compared to most movies Mike Myers made holds up kind of.
Oh yeah.
Compared to other ones, you admit there's some stuff in that. There's some stuff in that that has not aged well, but there's some stuff in that that is still funny. Mostly Dr. Evil specific.
Yeah, mostly Dr. Evil. Yeah. But we would say that.
Yeah. Anyway, go live your life. We don't give a fuck. But as you're telling, jump down that well. Seriously, do it. Darker the better.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.